Welcome to Let's Chew the Gum. I'm your host, Protocol. We talk about a lot of things in this show while we chew the gum. And as always, on each and every show, we always have
something for your mind.
Welcome back to the next episode of Let's Chew the Gum, the podcast where we talk about everything from A to Z. I'm your host, Protocol. And as you know, it's called Let's Chew the Gum because we believe that chewing the gum is a good thing when you talk. We know some people say you shouldn't chew gum and talk, but I believe that chewing the gum gives you a little bit of edge. It allows you to focus, provide some concentration. So we're okay with chewing the gum. Today, I have a special guest to introduce you to. My guest today is Dr. Rashara Richardson. From here on out, we will refer to her as Dr. Shara. Dr. Richardson, or Dr. Shara, is a transformational coach, educator, researcher, motivational speaker, and mentor, whose previous educational experience includes obtaining 2 bachelor's degrees in English literature and African American studies, a master's degree in educational administration, and a doctorate in urban educational leadership at the University of Cincinnati, where she defended her research, The Phenomenological Study of the Role of Grit in the Graduation Success of African American Male Alumni of the Moore Program in 2019. Dr. Shara currently serves as a liaison for Families Forward, assisting the families at urban elementary schools in the Cincinnati Public School District, where she is responsible for the day-to-day operations of managing, supervising, and recruiting school-based partners to help meet the individual needs of students. She also develops, implements, and sustains programs to increase student academic achievement, parental involvement, community engagement, and health and wellness for school families. She actively serves as a board member for the Mustard Seed Faith Outreach Services, where she excels in her role as vice president, leading and connecting educational and community partnerships to this ministry. Dr. Shara has overcome several challenges in her life as a young single mother, which is why she aspires to transform the lives of others by providing them with tools to achieve their full potential. She aspires to empower others with gained knowledge while using her past experiences to help elevate their mission. Although she was unable to walk at her high school graduation, that did not stop her from pursuing 4 degrees, including a professional degree. She also persevered as a young mother, raising a daughter with chronic medical issues during her journey in college. She was then charged with guiding her daughter through self-esteem and learning challenges as a young student. However, her daughter is currently excelling as a student in college. Dr. Shara's passion is to educate and empower families in her community, and she consistently seeks ways to increase academic achievement, self-efficacy, self-esteem, and money management for urban families, and she passionately works to create programs to promote education and perseverance. She has been very active in the community by providing leadership and character building workshops to assist many underprivileged youth and families. She has also coached several school and community sports programs where she has helped students advance and succeed in challenging competitions. She has organized several literacy and community engagement activities within the schools and community organizations. She is the past recipient of the Black and Latino Achievers Award and the Strive Award for Excellence in Service. Participated in programs such as the AllPaw School Scholars Leadership Program, and has served as a lead team member during her participation in Cincinnati's Children's Hospital Medical Center, Rapid Cycle Improvement Collaborative. She was also recognized by Cincinnati Public Schools for implementing an outstanding tutoring program in 2018. I want to welcome my guest, Dr. Shara. These are impressive credentials, and I'm so glad that you were able to join me here today. Welcome.
Hello. Thank you so much. I'm so glad to be part of your show.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, we talk about quite a bit of topics here, again, from A to Z. And as of late, you know, we've had lots of topics for individuals that were in need of guidance or help. And so during this time of COVID and uncertainty, it's really excellent that we have you here, because we have, you know, as you know, so many individuals are clamoring and reaching to find opportunities and ways to make sense of their lives and ways to transform their lives, to refashion their lives for what we are experiencing right now and for what lies ahead. And so I really am
Absolutely.
Glad. Yeah, right. So I'm glad to have you, because, you know, today we're going to talk about, you know, goal planning and how individuals may be able to transform their lives or utilize the skill sets that they have to make the best of their lives. And so, you know, after reading your credentials, it just made so much sense that, you know, you'd be the perfect person to talk with about this. So before we get into that, well, we're into it now. Just briefly, you know, maybe talk about, you know, what you're seeing right now with individuals as we experience COVID and why we really need to help individuals with this goal planning.
Well, yeah, thanks. So over the last several months, even though I've been, you know, pushing my consulting business, I initially was scheduled to actually do some presentation at some conferences. And, you know, with those conferences being canceled due to the recent pandemic, you know, I kind of shifted my business a little bit, you know, more trying to work on individual goals with individuals, because they were reaching out to me for specifics, mainly because a lot of them were either being laid off, furloughed, weren't comfortable with going back to work because of COVID, or they had some type of pre-existing condition, and I didn't want to, be around, you know, others who may have the disease. So they were kind of trying to set a goal on how were they going to continue paying their bills and having some type of income. And one of those individuals actually had to be my mom. She's retired. She was working part-time, at a grocery store a couple of days a week. And I actually sat down and with her to try and plant some goals. She makes this ginger tea that we've been drinking for years to help with, blood pressure. And we both have sinus issues that we inherited. And she also makes a pumpkin spice cake. And over the years, people had asked her to, you know, make this for them here and there, and they would pay her. And, you know, I actually was able to kind of sit down with her, and we made a plan. Came up with a, you know, marketing strategy, materials were going to be needed. And we pushed her ginger tea and, you know, her pumpkin spice cake. And it pretty much went off with a bang. You know, a lot of people wanted it. You know, she talked about the ginger and what was good for. And right now, during a time where people are trying to find, you know, natural remedies to fight off or to help build their immune system, that was one thing that, you know, people wanted. And, you know, long story short, her making, you know, this tea and putting it out there for sale allowed her to generate income three times as much as she was making as her part-time job. And I think that pretty much sparked the interest with other people who were seeing what, you know, I was able to kind of help her do. So, you know, over these last couple months, people have been reaching out to me, and one of my main ideas that I want to do to help my clients is to goal set. And I started out talking about it can be goal set in, you know, trying to budget, or, you know, maybe, you know, buying a home or going back to school. And like right now, a lot of people reaching out to me too, how to jump off their plan of starting their own business to generate some other income in their home. So over the last couple of weeks, that's pretty much what a lot of my consultations have been, is, you know, they have this idea, how can they move forward with it? You know, should they do some type of sampling, taste testing? So just starting with having a vision is, you know, the first step is what I've been, working and talking to people with. But because you know, trying to supplement that income that they may have lost, or the day or one or two, you know, one or two days that they've been furloughed on, trying to compensate and bring in some more money. So that's really what I've been working with as far as with my consultations over the last few weeks.
No, that's great, because, you know, again, as I said, there's so many people that have skill sets and they may not have the initiative or the know-how to figure out how can they, you know, find their niche in the marketplace to be able to, you know, again, supplement their income or replace lost income. So for individuals that are out there that, you know, a lot of people have ideas. There's so many people with ideas and I'm seeing it so much. What about the folks that, you know, they have something, but they don't know? How can we help people that, you know, they don't know that they have a skill set or they feel helpless? You know, what is it that we can, how can we inspire those individuals to let them know that there is another way?
Well, the best thing that I've been doing, you know, even in my consultation, even within myself, when I was thinking about starting a business, is to start with, what are some of your interests? What are some of the things that you like or even love to do? Or even something that you can create that you've done for fun. A lot of people, you know, some people don't think, you know, pretty highly of their talents and what it is that they do. Like, my mom never would have thought that all these people would have wanted her ginger tea or her pumpkin spice cake, even though she's been doing it for several years and people like it. But I guess in her mind, you know, some people just think, oh, they're supporting me just because it's me and, you know, they want to support me, not because they actually like it. But yeah, people have ideas and they create things that people would love to have if they were marketed. So the best thing to do to me is to find, you know, something that, what is it that you're interested in doing and what is it that you're good at doing? And let's start there. Because if some people just try and start a job or start a company and they really don't have a passion about it or no interest, you know, they may lose focus or may not even, you know, show enough passion in doing it. Now, one thing that I love to do that I've been doing all my life is helping people. You know, as a young single mother, you know, I always look for resources to help me improve in, you know, several areas of my life, getting through school, you know, raising my child, you know, having, you know, enough income or whatever, you know, to take care of my bills. So I've always looked for resources. However, I've always been the type of person to share those resources because I wanted to see other people around me, you know, excel as well. You know, when I took my first home buyers class, you know, I took it with a friend. You know, when I took real estate courses, you know, I shared the information and took with other people. So I've always been resourceful. So this consulting company was just, you know, just adding an LLC to it because I've always done it, you know, and I enjoy doing it. And when I see other people, you know, getting ahead, even in education, you know, going back to school or, you know, needing help with, you know, the application process or how to try to write essays or finding scholarships, like, I love to see people, you know, receive those rewards. So it's natural to me to be able to do it. Now, you know, you have some other people who may love cleaning. You know, my sister, for instance, she likes, you know, cleaning and organizing. So I'm in the process of, you know, she's another person. I'm in the process of helping her, you know, do some type of maid cleaning services. A lot of people are really big on, you know, having their home disinfected right now, keeping everything clean. But a lot of people just don't have the time or want to do it. So, you know, just doing, helping them learning or cooking a meal, it's their dish, you know. It's like I said, that my mom does a pumpkin spice cake. You know, that's just something that she enjoyed, a recipe that she created with and used to share with our family and bring to our family gatherings. But, you know, it's her own recipe. You know, she created it, and people enjoy it. So it may be a dish that they do. It may be a service that they can do. Or it may be some things that they're quick at learning to do. Like right now, a lot of people are doing YouTube, but they may not know how to start, you know, the YouTube channel or do the graphics or the info. You know, my daughter was, you know, one of those person who was good at, and I said, Raj, you know, you can learn all of that and charge people to do it, because a lot of people don't know how to do it or want to do it because it's a lot of work.
Right.
So there's a lot of things out there that I'm learning, you know, even in my walk, talents out there that people, you know, can get paid to do. And I think that we're so used to being the customer and the you know, consumer and buying things, we have to learn how to, you know, wrap our head around being the actual seller, you know, actually having the product and selling it to someone else, and learning how to do that is really not that hard if you find someone, you know, as myself or whoever, who can kind of sit down and help you, you know, set goals and plan a vision and, you know, keep schedule, show you how to keep track and keep schedule. And, you know, you also can take a few business classes that you don't have to go back to school for, to kind of learn, you know, the marketing strategies and those things.
Absolutely. Now, you brought up some great points. You know, you talked about, you know, first of all, individuals having a passion, and I think that's important. I think some of the best business ideas have come from people who just had a passion for something and then they monetized it. So, you know, that's key there. So people and individuals can, you know, if you have a passion about something, you know, and you are looking to supplement income, you know, figure out ways that, or talk with professionals like my guest here, Dr. Shara, about ways that you can monetize your passions. And you also brought up the idea of giving back, you know, as you were resourceful and as you scaled different levels in life, you said that you know, you've always been one to share that information, right? And I think that's key also when it comes to developing communities or helping to improve our family statuses, whether it's, you know, economic or just on a social level. It's important to give back. It, you know, it's the whole, you know, Sankofa idea. You know, I'll excel, but I always have one eye, you know, on those that are behind me, or those that are with me to help them excel also. So that's a great point to make for anyone that's listening. You know, sometimes, you know, you have people that want to, you know, they gather information or they gain information or status and they hoard it to themselves. And you know, I guess it's a preference, but it really is beneficial, you know, especially again in times like this, to be able to share that information with others to help them to excel. This idea of YouTube, you know, business courses and whatnot, you know, you can almost get, you know, YouTube degrees really, because there's so much information out there to help individuals. But again, you have to be able to know how to process the information and to analyze it and make it useful for yourself. So I'm glad that, you know, with your consulting business that you're able to do that. You also talked about, you know, you touched upon the idea of college prep. And I know I had been having conversations with some of my colleagues in the educational field, and even some students who were transitioning to college. And so with the COVID, a lot of the preparation that they normally would receive, or some of the end of the year programs that they receive, the transitional programs, were not available. And so you have many students who are heading off to college without that preparation, right? If they were not able to get it because they had family members who were able to provide that information, or if they didn't have access to it or didn't, you know where to access it, you know, some of those students, right, you know, may be at a disadvantage. So, you know, for students that are transitioning in that process, you know, what can parents or some of the students that listen, because, you know, my demographics here, you know, it's an interesting demographic. I have 17 to 24 year olds. It's a large group. And then there's the little bit between 24 to 40. And then there's another large group from 40 to 50. So we have an expansive demographic. So what type of information could we give to them, whether it's accessing your consulting firm or just in general, for them, you know, to start to prepare for college? You know, what type of resources might be there for them?
And absolutely. And it's unfortunate that, you know, we're going through what we're going through, especially for students who are transitioning into college, because it's already a new and, you know, sometimes scary, you know, for students' idea to go. So with them not having, you know, a lot of the programs that were put in place for them to be able to utilize, similar to like, Upward Bound that we have here, it's unfortunate. So now I think it's important where we set up, you know, something virtually for these students to make sure that they have, you know, access to skills. Like, I know that some schools were doing like a virtual tour, you know, and offering virtual programs for these students to participate. And it may not be the same, but it still may be, you know, a start. I specialize in, because when I was teaching high school, one of my elective courses that I taught was like a college planning class, you know, where I had to have the students, you know, research with colleges. You know, we were looking at their interests, kind of find what their major were. We were looking up scholarships, you know, trying to find out which schools, what scores you needed, what GPAs you needed, you know, coming up with a plan to make sure that they were, you know, meeting those guidelines requirements if they wanted to go to that school or get into those programs. So that was something that I did anyway teaching. So, you know, when I start working for programs, you know, offering my assistance with like Black and Latino Achievers and, you know, Ascend, working with teenagers, those were some of the workshops that I would do with them as well. So that's something that I want to continue to do. But I have to, my plan is hopefully in the next month or two is to have offer those different workshops and have them available virtually. So people, you know, not just locally, you know, all around, you know, US or wherever, who wants to participate, and I can market it and show them, because, you know, there's a lot of money out there, you know, as far as scholarships, people don't know how to get them. And then when they do a platform, they may not complete their applications correctly. When they're asking for essays, you know, I feel like a lot of the donors are looking for specific, you know, stories. You know, so I've been able to learn, you know, how that works, and I'm willing to, you know, share those opportunities, you know, with others. And I'm assuming right now that most of the programs like the Upper Browns, where you can kind of live, you know, on campus, have been all canceled. Fortunately, I don't think a lot of them will be able to have that experience until, you know, this pandemic goes away or dies down. But there are other ways that they can, you know, look out. But I don't, you know, so I had someone else reach out to me, and I was kind of looking to see. There's not a whole lot out there right now as far as the virtual workshops, because I'm assuming that people are thinking that we're going back, which is why I'm in a process of developing them anyway.
Right.
So that, like I said, just reaching out to me, you know, I can show them, you know, sites, but you can always Google scholarships. You can do them in your area. There are different websites that you can go on. But the thing also I need to find, we need to be clear, if they're still offering those same scholarships due to COVID, because I know there were a couple scholarship programs, they weren't able to host their fundraisers that they usually do during spring. So the availability of the funding may change for this coming year.
Right, right. No, that's very important. You know, we're gonna take a quick break. But when we come back from the break,
okay.
I want to talk about, come back to this, the college prep idea, because I have a concern that, again, of a, you know, similar to a digital divide, an academic access, an academic achievement divide that may be resulting from, again, students who are underserved, again, not being able to have access to those types of programs. This is Let's Chew the Gum. We'll take a quick break. We'll be right back.
Something for your mind. Mind.
Thank you for listening to our sponsor. This is Let's Chew the Gum, the podcast where we talk about everything from A to Z. Today, my guest is Dr. Shara, and we're talking about goal planning, college acceptance prep, turning your passions and inspirations into marketable entities to either replace or supplement income. We'd like to invite you to submit ideas for show topics, or if you'd like to be a guest on the show, we're welcome to hearing from you. Please send any inquiries to letschewthegum@gmail.com. You can also find this podcast not only on the platform where you're listening, but on most podcast platforms, including Google Podcasts, Apple Podcasts, Speaker, Podbean. We're on Spotify, YouTube. So reach out to us. We'd love to hear from you. Dr. Shara, before we went to break, we were talking about college prep and the possibility that perhaps some scholarships might not be available due to a lack of fundraising opportunities and just the transitions that we've all gone through as a result of COVID. And I had the idea, I had been thinking about this for some time, about how many students, particularly those who have been traditionally underserved, who rely on those programs, right, that it might create some type of academic divide that perhaps we haven't seen on this level. Because as you know, those particular students, you know, when they're in schools, they have access to counselors and teachers such as yourself, who may be able to provide guidance or to be able to provide resources or point students in the right direction. And unfortunately, again, those things were cut. So I'm really glad that you had the insight to start, you know, the virtual sessions that you're talking about. But I'm just concerned about this potential academic divide. And so what can we do as educators, as parents, to, you know, kind of supplement what our students have missed? I know you mentioned Googling scholarships, but you know, I know that you know that that won't be enough for students who sometimes need a step-by-step sort of assistance. What might we be able to do to address that?
Well, you know, another way is to actually reach out, you know, to the school system, you know, the school counselor, to see, you know, what are some of the suggestions that they have or do they have put in place. And I'm hoping that the school districts are, you know, letting that be, you know, one of their priorities as well, is to ensure that not only students are graduating from high school, that they want to go to college, that they do have access, that they do have, you know, knowledge, or, you know, because that was the counselor's job anyways, to make sure that they do know where they can apply, how to apply for scholarships. So I want to charge the school districts as well, which, you know, having something put in place, you know, as well as, you know, safety and security measures to ensure that these students can continue and go higher ed if they want. But I do know that on the college level, that because of the funding that they are offering students to enroll online so they can save and not have to pay for room and board. And some schools were actually offering students a discount if they did stay at home and not come on campus, that way that they can have more space for, like, maybe freshmen or sophomores that live on campus individually, so they won't have crowded dorms, you know, and have to have roommates. So I do know that the college level, or that the colleges and universities, are trying to make arrangements to ensure that students can still be able to attend college, you know, whether it's you know, virtually or whether it's at on campus, but, you know, being in a individual room. But I'm not really sure. Like I said, I'm waiting to see how these the high schools and school districts are making sure that these students have access to test prep. Now, we do know that, you know, last school year, a lot of schools waived test scores. However, would that continue? And if it doesn't continue, will students have access to test prep? You know, so those are some of the things that, you know, questions that come up with some of the parents who ask me, which is why I'm also, you know, working to do test preparation. But it's just on hold right now with the test scores being on hold. But, you know, moving forward for school year 21-22, would it be the same? Are they waiving test scores?
Right.
So, you know, just kind of reaching out to your school district, reaching out to your school counselor, and just, you know, asking them what is it, some of the things they put in place. There are some community organizations that usually do, you know, some type of college program. Like here locally, we have the Black and Latino Achievers. We have different sorority groups who have, and fraternity groups who have, you know, programs where they have students go through. So some of them are transitioning and offering virtual sessions and workshops where students can log in, you know, through Zoom meetings. So, you know, I would definitely reach out into some of those, you know, organizations that you have in your community as well. And, you know, you can start there, and you can also, you know, contact me, and I will, you know, whatever area you're in, I can help, you know, look through my contacts and kind of help, you know, filter and find out who may have something, and or if I can be a service to you as well, you can utilize my services.
Absolutely. And we'll definitely put your information in the description. You know, I'm much like you, I'm active in the community in those ways to help individuals to, you know, get into college, or whether it's letters or essays or just the planning, you know, the pathways that they haven't been upon. You know, I know I was the first person in my family to, you know, go through the process of obtaining multiple degrees. And so, you know, for those that don't know it, it can be a tricky path. So I'm glad that you have that available. You know, you mentioned about the school districts and tasking them with being that support for those students. And, you know, it's challenging. I don't know if you're aware, but here in Southern California, there's a recent lawsuit that was instigated or implemented by the ACLU, because there were quite a few school districts that, you know, in California, our funding formula is local. It's a local control formula. Before, you know, the state would dispense funds to the districts based upon particular formulas, right? Over the past, I don't remember how long it's been, but we've gone to a local control funding formula where monies are dispersed to the districts, the local districts, LEAs, and it's their job to distribute the funding accordingly, right? Well, the lawsuit points to the fact that there were many schools that were not utilizing funds that were meant for Black and Brown students in particular. I don't remember the amount. I could say $30 million or $300 million, but it's a substantial amount of money that was not being used for those programs. And so I want to just, you know, ensure, and I'm glad you brought up the idea of community organizations, right? Because apparently we need to have more oversight even at the district level to make sure that that these funds are being utilized, and that, you know, folks like you and I and others who are aware, you know, insist that we have these programs for students that particularly need them, right? Because, you know, if we want to trust that our school sites and our districts are doing the best by our students, right? And unfortunately, right, that hasn't happened. I was a part of a panel recently, and the topic came up, and I was mentioning how I was very leery of the idea of local districts having the complete control over funding, because it reminded me of a time in our country after Brown versus the Board of Education, where you had districts that were segregated and they were refusing to provide services for African-American students, for example. And there were some districts, I believe even in Virginia, Prince Edward County, I can't remember the name of the county, but they decided that they were close schools down rather than have desegregated schools. And so the community members, they had the wherewithal and the finances and the resources to, you know, for the most part, homeschool their kids, or they opened up schools places of business, or churches, or their own homes, while you had many African-American students who perhaps for a couple of years were out of school. And so that created another academic divide. So it's important, like you said, our districts need to be on the forefront of this to provide those services. But also we need to not solely rely on that and make sure that we have community members that are aware and in touch with what's happening in the districts to ensure that all students, irrespective of color, all students have access, because, you know, for students of color and poor students, it's a crucial time. And I'm also glad that you know, you brought up the idea that there are colleges that are implementing programs for this. So again, we really need to just, again, keep our eye on this and to make sure that we're doing all that we can to ensure the best for all students, right?
Absolutely.
Yeah. So, you know, we've talked about skill sets, college prep, you know, all of this is under the umbrella of empowerment, right? And we've talked about individuals that may be going into business. We've covered students that are transitioning to college or are in college. What groups have we left out? There's so many groups. I don't know if we have looked at the incidence of issues that are related to, let's say, our female population in particular, who may have been underserved. You know, this situation has brought up so many variables.
And I think that's what was a point that I was going to bring up earlier when we talked about when you was talking about people hoarding information, you know, just as a you know, young Black woman growing up, I felt like that, you know, I couldn't really find people or, you know, mentors to, you know, kind to, you know, take me under their wing and share their knowledge in the area that I wanted to go. You know, I always saw myself as being, you know, an educational leader, you know, leading the masses, you know, and helping others. But in my journey, I just really couldn't find, you know, people to, you know, help me, you know, develop those skills. So a lot of the things that, you know, I developed were, you know, on my own, you know, so part of what I want to do as well as in my consulting company is develop some type of, you know, women, you know, network where, you know, you have women who are CEOs or, you know, vice presidents, and to reach out and mentor those who want to move in that area, who are willing to share, you know, the knowledge and take up under their wings. Because, you know, I've worked with, you know, people, you know, from other races, and they showed me how they were able to move forward, and, you know, people were able to share, you know, information, you know, so that they can excel and build and have those skills as well. And I felt like, you know, just even moving in my walk, you know, in my doctoral program, or, you know, as a mother, or trying to excel as a, you know, educational leader, there weren't a lot of, you know, women who were reaching out, or when I reach out to, would be willing to give information. Honestly, there were a lot of male, you know, figures who were willing to share. And, you know, so that is something that I do aspire to do. One thing that I'm also doing, a high school that I graduated from, just met with, you know, one of their resource coordinator, and we're going to work on doing a mentorship of the alumni, you know, male and female, to mentor one of the students in the school. Last year, we celebrated our 100-year centennial year. It was wonderful. Our school colors were orange or black. We pretty much painted the city orange, and all the activities that we had a gala. We did a down on the square where the water changed color. We painted it to orange, and everybody had on orange. We had a golf outing, basketball game. So I wanted us to keep that same energy and all of those people who participate and try and have someone reach out, you know, to a student and be a mentor. So that's one thing that I'm working on. But as far as the women piece, I don't really see it. You know, I honestly feel like, you know, a lot of women are competitive. They, you know, want to feel like, but I, you know, we have been conditioned to think, you know, that way, that, you know, mm-hmm. So I want to change that and, you know, reach out and look for people who are in certain business and be willing to be that, you know, that bridge to some young, you know, aspiring, you know, woman who wants to go that route, but needs some type of guidance and some type of direction. So when you had talked about earlier about people hoarding information, and that's okay for them to do, yeah, it's okay. But if we're trying to grow as a community and as a race, we do need to, you know, share and reach out to one another, and be, you know, willing to do that. So that's another area that I'm, you know, interested in doing.
Absolutely. And now let me rephrase that, because I want to make it clear that I don't think it's okay. It's not okay to do that. Mm-hmm. You know, absolutely not. You know, and I know that
right,
there are.
Right, and I agree.
Right, go ahead.
And people, and it's not okay, but people, like you said, they have the right to choose.
There
to
you
do
go.
It. You know what I'm saying?
That's
they have
what
the
I was
right
meaning.
To choose to do it. However, right. If we're going to move and grow, we need to not want to think that it's okay to want to do it.
Absolutely.
You know what I'm saying?
Yes.
So.
And you brought up the idea of being conditioned that way, right? People have been so conditioned to survive and to gain for me. I have to look out for me. But, you know, we know that that doesn't build a community, and it's not sustaining. You know, I know that there are,
right.
are other groups out there, and I've come across other professional women in different areas that have a similar mindset to what you spoke about. And I think that, you know, one of the things that happens is, you know, they happen in isolated pockets, right? First of all. And so, you know, we need to continue to build those networks. And another thing I notice is when you have individuals who have a passion that such as you have, right? Or even in my own experiences, the passions that I've had, you know, to whether it's to implement a program or to create change, right? And you have others that may have a passion, maybe it's not their particular passion, but they're on board. Oftentimes when those individuals such as, you know, you and I leave that entity or institution, you know, the passion or the dream for that program sometimes leaves also. And so, you know, it's important for us to inspire, continue to inspire the younger generation so that, you know, these programs and ideas will be sustaining, right? And we need to let them know and let them experience the importance of the types of programs you're talking about so that they will have the passion themselves to move it forward. Or even if they aren't passionate about it, they understand the importance of moving it forward, right? Because you may not be passionate about something, but you can become impassioned about something when you, you know, realize the importance of it. You know, these things,
absolutely,
right? They have to be sustainable. And so, you know, again, we do need to continue to build these networks, and it doesn't stop, you know. Just as much as people leave this earth every day, people are born every day. And, you know, we can't assume that, you know, people know or have these passions when they don't. You know, I made that mistake before, assuming that individuals in leadership positions that, you know, some things were common sense. Like, it's common sense that you would have equity programs. It's common sense that you would, you know, understand the laws of education. It's, you know, and sometimes it's just not. So I will not assume that anymore, and we'll make sure that, you know, I continue to sort of spread the light and share the knowledge about, you know, situations like this, as opposed to assuming that individuals know. It's important. Now, I'm really glad that you are impassioned about those things because we need it. And again, especially in these times, you know, I think we've given our listeners quite a bit of information to digest. And in a very short time, there's so much, but it's all so important, you know, for the various generations, for, you know, whether we are advanced in age and moving to retirement, whether we're, you know, at our peak earning years or just getting into professions or into college or for the young ones that are coming up, there's something there for everybody. So before we go, I want to give an opportunity. If there's something that I didn't cover, because I'm so impassioned about this, you know, I ideas come and go. But before we go, if there's anything that we didn't cover or any information or last calls to action that you'd like to share with our audience.
I'm just, you know, we really didn't really talk about, you know, how people are, you know, kind of staying positive right now during this pandemic, you know, and I'm just want to encourage, you know, you to stay healthy, to stay safe, wear your mask, and, you know, check on your friends and family, you know. You know, unfortunately, you know, I've, you know, known some people who have, you know, tested positive, and I know some people who passed away, and you know, it's just times are changing, and the things that we were, you know, worried about or angry about before, it's not even that important anymore. You know, and I have people that are real close to me who are sick right now. So, you know, my mindset, you know, is changing, and I'm just really just trying to stay positive and, you know, help those who want to be helped. You know, and help to push people, you know, move them forward. So it's just, you know, keeping that state of mind, you know, healthy and positive right now during this pandemic, because, you know, 2020 is definitely going into history books. It's definitely different. So, you know, in regards to being able to get up and go to work every day or not go to work or whatever, it's just, you know, it took me a while to even, you know, mentally transition into what's really going on right now. So, you know, even though we do have, you know, students trying to get into college and start businesses, we still do have this pandemic going on. So just trying to be, you know, positive and during this time, and you know, promoting to do the right thing and meet the CDC guidelines are some things that, you know, I'm also, you know, passionate about, because there are a lot of people who, you know, think that it isn't real, and they're still having gatherings and, you know, getting sick and getting others sick. So, you know, that's just something else that I just wanted to point out.
Yeah, absolutely. I appreciate you saying that. It's definitely, you know, we definitely have to stay positive, take care of ourselves, you know, take care of others. And, you know, hopefully that is reciprocated all over. Well, I really appreciate your time and sharing your expertise. And we're definitely going to put your information in the description box for the show so people will be able to contact you. I also want to make sure we get the information for your mother. I think I liked some of that pumpkin spice cake.
And, they're getting addicted to
yeah,
it.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah. And I definitely appreciate the benefits of ginger. So we'll get all that information in the description box. And I really appreciate you being on the show. And I just want to say thank you for that. You are.
Thank you so much for having me. I enjoyed it.
Absolutely. You all have been listening to Let's Chew the Gum, the podcast where we talk about everything from A to Z. And as always, we have
something for your mind. Something for your mind.